All right, I want to greet you all this morning in Jesus' precious name. It's been a real blessing to be here already this morning. I really appreciated the music, the songs that we've sang. It's just been a real blessing. I remember this, or just walking in sunlight. I'll sing that. Remember hearing that, my grandma singing it years and years ago, just when I was a little boy. It's just a real blessing, and they have a very good theme. So, and as well as some of the others, we'll touch on them just a little bit later. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come before you this morning and we just thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for all that you do for us, Lord. We thank you, Father, for your loving care for us. And Lord, we just ask you to help us to see that, Father. Lord, we ask that you'd fill us with your Spirit, that you'd give us wisdom. Father, as we open your word, Lord, help us to see the light that you would have us see and to walk in that, Father. Again, we just thank you for all you do. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Again, like I said, I just really appreciate the music. One of the other songs we sang was Light After Darkness. And you know, sometimes things look bad, but there's always light after darkness. Somebody was just telling about how gloomy it was. And I've said this before to the young people and stuff, but just been pretty gloomy. The sun, we talked about it, and they just said they wished the sun would shine. And I said, well, the sun is shining. It's always shining. We just can't see it. But that doesn't change a thing about the sun. It's still there. It's still shining, bright, still got all the warmth that we enjoy. But we just can't see it sometimes. And that's the way life is. It's just a picture of life. And that's this light after darkness, gain after loss, strength after weakness, crown after cross. Just over and over again, all the things that seem bad, they always can lift us to something better. And they always do. You know, just doesn't matter what we go through or what's going on in our life. We have the idea that it just will, whenever it's dark, that it'll never get light again. The sun will never shine, but then it always does. And we've got to learn to walk in that light, the sunlight, even whenever we can't see it. These are principles that, you know, even work for people who aren't Christians. It's just amazing how God's principles work every time you try them. And we just begin to lose sight and we get all mixed up. But God's way works every time it's tried. And like I said, the world knows this at times. There's people that are very worldly and doing worldly things, but they follow godly principles. We sang the one song about God's word and how it's not changed. Right there is what it's talking about. The principles that it's teaching, you know, the words may change from language to language, but when you get a hold of the principles, they work every time they're tried. Sad thing is they're just not tried very often. Let's open our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 1 says, "Now I, Paul, myself urge you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, I who am meek when face to face with you, but bold toward you when we're absent. I ask that when I am present, I need not be bold with the confidence with which I propose to be courageous against some who regard us as if we walked according to the flesh. Here, Paul, this is a little bit confusing here, but what he's saying basically is that he's wanting to be like Christ, meek and gentle. But sometimes he gets pretty courageous and says some bold words to people, but he doesn't really like to say those bold words. And I've spent a lot of my life just thinking that just saying those bold words right to somebody, you know, and just straighten them out, you know, that doesn't always work. I've seen that, you know, more times than not. Just hurt people more than it helps. I just often have to remember that Christ was gentle and meek. And then he says, but some people say that we're just working after the flesh. And you know, the world looks on, and everything that we do, they can find a reason not to like it. You know, it's just here he's talking about a leader, and I had a thought this week about a leader, being a leader. You know, there was a man mentioned something about he didn't like the leadership, and I thought about that a little bit, and I thought, you know, the real problem is he doesn't like leadership. That's the real problem. People don't like leaders. And I thought about that and how people will despise a leader, but then submit to the bondage of a tyrant. There's many will not be led by a leader, but they will gladly be brought into bondage by a tyrant. And that's just amazing how that is. You know, with that song we sing, God leads his dear children along. And that's what he's trying to do, is to lead us. You know, the devil would love to have us, you know, just in bondage and just drag us through stuff. That's how he does. He brings us into bondage, and then he drags us through. But God leads us through, and that's what he wants to do. There's a problem for everybody. We all have those ups and downs. We have good times. We have bad times. This speaks to humanity because we all have it. And the thing about it is we can either be drugged through it, or we can be led through it. Last Sunday we sang the song, we're a lot about music, and there's a reason for that. But I was able to share that with this week with somebody, but you know, we've sang the little song, my Lord knows the way through the wilderness, and all I have to do is follow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness, and all I have to do is follow. It doesn't matter what is in front of you. I mean, you could think of the worst thing in this world that could happen to you, and you can give it to the Lord, and all you have to do is go through it. You know, I've talked about some times that I've gone through and some of the hard things that I would just say, Lord, I don't want to do this. But then I just say, Lord, I'll go through. You lead me through it, and I'll go. The Lord knows the way through the wilderness. He's talking, you know, about the 40 years that the the Israelites were led around in the wilderness, and the Lord led them all the way. And 40 years is a long time to be in darkness. You know, we have a bad night and we're thinking it's the end of the world. You know, but here's 40 years being led around in the wilderness, just getting a little bit of water here and a little bit, and then the manna that God was given from heaven, and getting tired of that stuff. And we do. We get tired of the same old thing, but you still keep following. The Lord knows the way through the wilderness, and all I have to do is follow. You know, it's pretty simple, really, isn't it? We get to thinking that we've got to be the leader, we've got to be out there doing the things, and we've got to be... But the only way we can actually be a leader is by being a follower. Good leaders are followers. You know, the people who just rise up with power and become tyrants, anybody can do that. We just wait in line, hope waiting for our turn to be the next tyrant. But a leader learns to be a leader by following. And we learn that by following the Lord. Anyway, just that's what a little bit of what he's talking to us. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. We all walk in this flesh. But the difference is how we battle it. We all walk in the flesh, but how do we fight our battles? For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powered for the destruction of the fortresses, or for the destruction of those things that are mounted up against us. And a lot of that is entailed in some of these principles. A lot of that battle that we fight is the way we win that battle are in these principles that God's laid out for us to overcome. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of the fortresses. You know, that's another thing. There's a lot of little cliches here that we talk about, but it doesn't. It just doesn't hurt to hear them again, over and over and over again. The only thing in this life you can control is your attitude. Nothing else. Everything comes at you, but you can still decide whether you're going to have a good attitude about that or not. And this is a principle that God has given. This is the power that Christ won when he died on the cross, for us to have the ability to make that choice. And even the people in the world, there's people that have big seminars and they teach all this stuff and helps people just cope with life. Some of these principles, and they'll work in any situation. It's so easy for us to be on the dark side of life, the dark side of thoughts. You know, we see some people that, you know, it just seems like they're upbeat all the time. And you know, a lot of that, the way they get there is because they have been through some dark, bad times. There was a man, he was the brother to my cousin's wife. He just died. He was 90-some years old. And my cousin's wife said he was one of the happiest people he's ever met. He never got discouraged. Just whatever happened, he was just was happy all the time. Seemed he always never saw, he was never, there wasn't anything that came at him that he wasn't ready just to go through. And he wasn't, as we would call, a godly man. But whenever we whenever you know a little more of his life. In the early 60s, he was a pilot in Vietnam. And he got shot down. His plane got shot down and he was captured. He spent 1,243 days in a prison camp in Vietnam. 5 years. Maybe it's 1,500. I'm not sure the exact amount of days, but it was almost 5 years. And he was tortured every day. I mean, you know, we think we have a bad day or we don't feel good. Can you imagine laying in a prison cell, maybe getting a little bit of bread or something once a day? No telling what, the guards just making a joke, feeding you. I mean, vermin were clean. But just these men that were feeding you would play tricks on you all the time. You'd wait until you're asleep, and maybe if you have a little blanket, and just take the blanket away in the middle of the night. So just keep you up all night freezing. Just the things we can't even imagine, just of just the torment of just your guards. And then they would take them every day or so into a room, and they had people that were professional at just torturing people. I mean, maybe pull your fingernails out one day. I'm not going to get too detailed here, but I'm just giving you an idea of some of the things that they might do just to make you hurt so that you'd just tell them all of the answers and whatever they wanted to know. Give up secrets maybe, or maybe just do it because they wanted to break you. You know, this power that men have of just trying to break somebody because they want to drag you through the problems instead of lead you through them. That comes straight from Satan. That's his method. And even if they didn't have anything to learn from you, they just want to see you broken because you're a soul and you're a human being and they want to control you. And this man told the stories whenever he got home. He brought his family into the room and he said, I'm going to tell you this one time what happened to me. And I'm going to go through all the details of everything that went on that I can remember. And he sat in there and he told them all the things that went on while he was there. And he said, and after I get done, I'm never going to talk about it again. And he didn't. Lived 91 years old. Some of the things he told him, he told about one of his buddies that was in there with him. They'd made friends. And one day the buddy said, I can't do it anymore. I'm giving up. I'm just giving up. Whatever they want, I'm just going to give up. I'm not going to fight anymore. And he said, no, you're not. Keep on fighting. Don't give up. And he didn't. That man's still living in Hawaii, 91 or 92 years old. Still alive because he didn't give up. He would have died in that prison camp and would have been glad to, but he didn't. This is a principle that men were even fighting in a war, going against some of God's principles. But they got hold of this one, and it worked for them. You know, that idea, he talked about all the bad things that happened to him, and he told his family once just to leave all of their questions. And then he said, I'm not talking about it anymore. It don't matter what you go through or what you've been through. That right there made him the man. And that's what he would say that until the day he died. That was one of the things he said, don't you regret having to go through all that? And he said, those things made me the man I am today. Later on in life, they promoted him to being a high up in the military and had goals of going to be an admiral, to be the highest office. But one day they were flying a plane. He was going somewhere, and once you get to a certain level, they won't let you fly anymore. You're not allowed to fly anymore because you're such a rank that's just not what, that's one of the rules. One of the engines went out on the plane. And then the other one started having a problem, and the pilot panicked. It's a whole load full of people on the plane, the military plane. A whole load full of people on there. And the pilot panicked because he started having trouble. The plane was going down. He got the pilot out of the pilot seat and jumped in the pilot seat and took over and landed the plane safely. Saved the whole crowd's life. What'd the military do? They punished him because he broke the rules and said, you're not going any higher in your military office anymore. They gave him a medal, you know, for saving people. But they said, you can't rise. Your rank's stopped right here. No more. After all he'd been through, and then do this, you know, he could have got bitter about that. I talked to a man that was a colonel that said if he would have just become a 2-star general, it would have doubled his salary for the rest of his life. You know, so it's not just a little thing to rise in rank in this system. So now he has to live with the pension that he has. Because he saved people. Could have got bigger, but he didn't. He said, I'd do it all again. Because it was what was supposed to be done. The reason I say all of this, if bad things have happened, they can either make you a better person or they can destroy you. The whole world. They can look back at things that happened to them and they can be mad and upset and blame people and hate people. And it destroys them. And they're angry and bitter people for the rest of their life. And then there's some people that can look at what happened to them and say, that made me a stronger person. And I'm going to love more and I'm going to be kinder and I'm going to be more optimistic instead of doom and gloom all the time. You know, a Christian ought to be walking in sunlight all of their journey. Now, I know there's bad days, and I know there are days it's overwhelming. Every one of us have those days. There's things just one after another, problem after problem after problem after problem. And you just want to get all dark about it. Well, that is not the direction God is trying to lead you in whenever all these things happen. He's trying to lead you through those things, out of that darkness into the glorious sunlight. And you know, the wonderful thing is, the glorious thing is that if we can be going through all those dark things and still have a smile on our face, still have a radiance of praise and thanksgiving. My grandma said one time she had a son died when he was 44 years old. And I remember hearing her say, she said, I don't know, and I don't remember how long exactly it was, but she said it was a good while before I could thank God for my son dying. You know, it takes a little while sometimes, or it did for her. But we've got to be able to thank God for whatever happens to us and whatever we go through. Because He knows the way through the wilderness. And all we have to do is follow. And how glorious it is if we can follow with praise on our lips and thanksgiving to our God. You know, it's kind of a shame that the world, there's men and women in the world can can go through the same things you and I go through and be happy about it and be joyful. And their only reward is whatever's at the end of their life. But God knows the way through the wilderness. And it's just a, like I said, it should be a reproof to us so that we can turn that around and be joyful and be happy. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. Okay, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Right here is some very sound biblical truth. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing. You know, we've said it before that imagination is the biggest nation that ever existed. You know, we get an idea in our head and we get scared, and pretty soon we just let our mind run, and that thing just gets bigger and bigger and bigger until there's no light at the end of the tunnel anymore. Or whatever it is, speculation, imagination of things we don't have any control over. And so we start trying to figure out how we're going to fix it instead of saying, Lord, this is in your hands and all I have to do is follow. He said, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. All of those things that come up against you, these threats, these fears, they're not from God. Satan is the author of those things. And when we yield to them, we're giving him power over our lives. But Paul's talking about destroying those speculations, getting rid of them. See, whenever we're living in our imagination, we're not in what's real. The things around us aren't real. We're living in our imagination. And whenever we're living in our imagination, you know, there's good whenever imagination, whenever you see a little problem in front of you, and sometimes your imagination will see a way to fix that problem. So there's a good part of that. But then when you see a problem, and instead of seeing a way through it with imagination, your imagination grows and just makes the problem bigger, then you got a problem, a big problem. The thoughts that we have, we're destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. Mark those things in your mind that are causing you distress, that are giving you fear. that are lifting themselves up the lofty things of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. You see, when we start seeing these things creep up, and they're red flags to us, they should be warnings to say, this is going to lead me away from God and into a dark place. Do not go there. Bring every thought captive. You see, our minds are bigger than our bodies. They're bigger than this whole world. Because we can imagine beyond this world. We can imagine things that don't exist. That's how big our mind can be. And our fears can be the same. Our monsters can be bigger than God. The things that are bothering us can be bigger than God. And that's what he's talking about here. Even though they're just in our mind. You know, our minds can go all kinds of different directions, and that's why the importance of bringing our thoughts captive. Not just in having a good attitude, but you know, there's fantasies that we have. You know, we have these fantasy things. Just almost everything, everybody just kind of dreams of having something different. And so it's easy for us to live in our fantasy mind. This can affect, and I'm going to get in there, boys, girls, I mean, young people, men, women. You start to fantasize, and you're not living in the real world anymore. You know, the things that we look at sometimes, or the things that we see sometimes, and we begin to fantasize on those things. You know, it's all right in front of us, and we begin to fantasize. And it seems kind of harmless. But what that does is destroys what's real. You know, if you're fantasizing about someone or something or something, anything, you're building an expectation that whenever you find the real person or the real thing, it just don't measure up to what you fantasized about, does it? And so you become bored with what's real. I mean, that's what happens sometimes when men think about other things that they shouldn't, and then their wife becomes boring because she's not measuring up. So then you just got to live in this fantasy world. It's all up here, and it's all fighting against what's real. That's why the real is so boring to people sometimes. Because they've got an expectation in their fantasy mind that no one will ever reach to. It's just all out there thoughts that are not brought into captivity. And they lead us to where life is boring. Anything, going to church is boring. All the things, whatever you want to do, you can fantasize about a perfect religious group. And that's why there's people that hop from church to church and church to church. Because they fantasized about this perfect church and no one ever measures up to them. And so they don't ever stay very long. I mean, even in our growing up, just about every year or so, there'd be a new group, a new family come in, and they'd be there for a few weeks, and then they'd be off somewhere else. And boy, they were really in, and just, you know, and then they were gone because somebody offended them. Somebody said a little something. It wasn't the fantasy they had in their mind of a perfect church. And you can do that with anything. We have a job to do, and that is to take one step at a time in our life and maintain ourselves right where we are. Not living in the past, not living in the future, but to live today and enjoy it, whatever the Lord gives us. I remember meeting people at times, and you know, that you ask them how they're doing, and they say, better than I deserve. And they always say that with a big smile on their face, because they know they don't deserve much. And the truth is, whatever would happen to them if they had that attitude, they could still say it with a big old smile on their face. Because you know, we don't deserve anything from God. We've turned our back on Him. We've neglected Him. All the good things He's done for us, and we curse Him and despise Him and grumble and complain. He doesn't owe us a thing. But He still just keeps pouring on the mercy and pouring on the goodness and pouring on the blessings, whether we do good with it or not. You see, that's all He's looking for, is someone that'll just be led for whatever He wants us to go through, whatever He needs us to go through. Not for ourselves, for somebody else. Don't have to even worry about all of that. The Lord knows the way, and all I have to do is follow. The Lord knows the way, and all you have to do is follow. God's good to us. In the good times and the bad. You know, there's a song I love. The God of the mountains is the God of the valleys. The God of the good times is the God of the bad. You know, that comes from where the people said, well, we'll fight them in the mountains and we can beat them. And God's army whipped them. And He said, well, those are mountain people. We'll fight them in the valley. So they fought him in the valley, and God whipped them. God in the mountains is still God. The God in the valley is still God. The God in the good times is still God. And the God in the bad times. The God in the dark times is the same God that's in the light. Just live that way. And it'll transform your life. It even works for people who don't profess anything Christianity. How much more would it work for you? May God add His blessings. Anyone have anything you'd like to share?
I really appreciate the thoughts you shared with us this morning, and appreciate the fervor that you spoke with.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
I was reading this verse this morning. Finally, brothers, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, lovely, good report, virtue, and keeping faithfully, meditate on these things. I think that's a, you know, one of the areas of the biggest battles in my life is just, what am I meditating on throughout the day?
Amen.
And just that, it drastically changes your life.
Amen. And we get bored of the good things. There's so many things that are after us, we just get bored of the good things. But those are things... Godliness with contentment is great gain. Paul said, you know, he talked about just that contentment, love, joy, peace, things we talk about all the time. They're boring with everything that's going on around us. We keep our minds occupied with all those things because they're exciting, shiny, twinkly. But those things that you just read about are what will carry you through. Those other things will fade.
Yeah, I'm so blessed with this view, what you shared this morning. And you said before so often how easy it is for us to take ourselves so seriously. Mm-hmm. And that includes what you said now, our minds taking us down a road or telling us things that are not so. Huge imagination. And, you know, that not learning in life not to take ourselves so seriously means that we admit or learn that our minds are dirty liars sometimes. Mm-hmm. Until we learn to direct that, those thoughts and deal with them, and that we then don't suffer as much having to fight those dirty, lying thoughts of fear and monsters and all of that. You know, you said it, it's so true. It goes way beyond the size of this world, even, our thoughts. They go way out of control. So I just appreciate that. It's a reminder of what the difference between our thoughts are and what is real and true.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
We were talking about that the other day, that if you have a perception about something, even if it's slapping you in the face, that you're wrong, it takes a long time sometimes to change the perception that you have about that place or that person, or even though, like you see people doing it right now, you know that the way that you're going or whatever's wrong, but they still believe that they're right no matter what, and they refuse to admit it. You know, and like if you ever have tried to convince somebody that believes that they're entitled, that they're not entitled, it's like talking to the wall. I mean, you're just not going to convince that person that they don't deserve whatever they believe that they deserve. And until they see that, you're, you know, fighting the losing battle, basically, from what I've seen.
Yeah. Amen.
For the young people next week, can you bring something, a burst of thought, an encouraging thing about walking in sunlight?
Okay. Yeah, some people this week asked me, you know, if I missed not taking care of cows, and I said, no, I said, I loved taking care of cows, but I've learned to love whatever I'm doing. I mean, one time I spent all week working on a manure spreader. It just, and that's just how it sounds. You just, it gets all tangled up and you got to clean it out again. And I just, after the week, you know, I didn't mind that a bit. You find what your hand finds to do and do it and be happy with it, and it will make your life a whole lot better. It's just that same thing. So we've got the power, and it's a godly principle that will work every time it's tried. God bless you all. Part and peace. We'll meet back 6 o'clock, Lord willing.